that's
yes,
useless.
Yes, well, and I can cut out
waste
things.
Your material.
No, I can cut out things anyway, so do say them.
Well, Mrs. Winchingham, when I came to Lincolnshire in 1934, was still attending various committees and so on in the county with the county council, and was rather regarded with sometimes affectionate and sometimes irritated amusement, because her constant habit was to come into a committee meeting a little late, bustling in, saying, "I'm so sorry, Mr. Chairman, I've just come from such and such a committee," settle down with her papers, ask what she'd missed, catch up with what was going on, and then after about half an hour or so, depending on the next engagement, say, "Well, I'm so sorry, Mr. Chairman, I must leave you now, I have to go and do so and so," and off she'd bustle again. And the general feeling, particularly amongst what was very largely male committees, as the county council ones were, there were very few women members, that she liked being on committees, that she liked having a finger in pies, that she quite genuinely wanted to contribute, but that she'd taken on so much that she really gave very little help to anything. Now, that may or may not have been true, but that was certainly the impression that I, as a girl of 21 coming into Lincolnshire, picked up at that time.
How were you actually involved with her at that stage?
I came to work with a body called a Rural Community Council. A Rural Community Council in a county, as you may know the Oxfordshire one.
No, I don't.
It's the equivalent of a Council of Social Service in a town.
Oh, yes.
And the parent body of all these is the National Council of Social Service.
Yes, which is the old Charity Organisation Society, is it?
Not entirely. I did look out some books. The things that I looked out, hoping that there might perhaps be
yes.
some.
But anyway, you were involved in sort of organising in Lincolnshire, the Lincolnshire aspect of work for
yes.
the National Council of Social Service.
Yes, I worked for the... as it originally was Lindsay Rural Community Council, and then it extended and took in Holland and was Lindsay in Holland. Mm. And since local government reorganisation, the Kesteven one, which was started rather later, has been brought in, and now it's the Lincolnshire
I see, yes.
Community Council. They've dropped the rural now that town
yes.
and country is being brought closer together. So my connection with the Women's Institute was that they were a component part of the Rural Community Council. They were represented on the council, and we had very close links, and if they wanted us to push things they were interested in, rural transport, for example, we would do all we could, and similarly they were an arm through which we could spread ideas. And we worked very happily and in a very friendly way together, and I used to go to their meetings and their people used to come to ours. But we were concerned with a whole variety of bodies, because we administered a good many organisations, such as the County Association of Parish Councils and the County Playing Fields Association. One of our jobs was to try and help villages to get village halls or playing
oh, yes.
fields or any community mm. need. And then music and drama and adult education, all the different activities that any rural community
yes.
might be interested in. It was our job to try and help and encourage.
So the Women's Institute's in a way a sort of arm through which you can get at people, in a sense, in a
they
rural
are,
community.
They are, yes.
Mm.
And originally, their governing constitution forbade them to discuss religious and political matters, because it was thought these would be divisive. But in very recent times, this has now been abandoned as social climate has changed. But they did, you knew they originated in Canada.
Yes,
you?
I do,
yes.
yes.
Of
they,
course, if you read the,
yes.
yes, read the history,
yes.
you know that.
But we're looking at Women's Institutes in Lincolnshire now as compared with when you first arrived in the county. What's different, really, now, would you say?
In those days, the person who ran the WI was very largely the local lady of the manor or vicar's wife, the natural leader, as it was then thought. and the village women would be encouraged to join, but they generally sat and saw whatever demonstration was given, and the administrative side was done by the better educated, as they were then. And that has changed enormously, both as a policy matter from the national level, followed up at the county level, to try and ensure that it's the ordinary member who takes part, that the offices in the WI go round. And now if you go to a WI meeting, as likely as not, if there is a vicar's wife or a squire's wife left, and of course very often there aren't because of grouped parishes or the fact that the squire's sold up, you'll find them sitting in the audience and somebody else taking the meeting. And that's been a complete, almost complete, I think perhaps in some parts of the country it may not have gone as far as it has in Lincolnshire, democratisation. Of the WI.
Yes, that's very interesting. What about transport? I mean, presumably it was much more difficult to get around the country when you first came here, around the county when you were first here.
No, oddly enough, there was a far better bus service when I came than there is now.
Was there really?
Yes.
So, in fact, it wasn't difficult to coordinate rural activity based on rural branches?
There were problems, but most of the county committee and the secretary and treasurer, the two Miss Halls that I mentioned, had their own cars. And of course they shared cars and shared transport. There were some places you couldn't get to by bus. But generally speaking, they tried to set up WIs where people could get to them. Sometimes a little hamlet wouldn't have enough people or enough expertise, and it would be set up in the nearest larger place where you could efficiently set it up, and then these hamlets would come in, there'd be a carload coming in to join.
I understand.
So that you find in Lincolnshire quite a lot of WIs were so and so and so and so.
Yes, so they amalgamated.
And they were a joint one, whereas if you had a big place, as Fotherby appears to have been, you see, Fotherby appears to have been a big WI from this photograph.
Yes.
On the other hand, some of those people may have come in from adjacent villages.
Well, of course, Mrs. Wintingham would have done.
Yes. And she, no doubt, whenever she went to a WI thing, filled her car.
Yes.
And I was also given, when she gave me these books and pamphlets, what she called her WI teapot, which was a splendid, enormous teapot, about so big that she used to take two WI meetings so that you could make a brew for a great many people rather than having little teapots or an urn, because she didn't like urns. And this WI teapot we used for years at the Rural Community Council. We used to take it to the county show and brew up what we call Mrs. Winchingham's teapot, as it was, of course. And it's still
she used to carry it round with her to meetings.
Yes.
She was, I mean, the general image of her is of a very homely woman.
Very homely, very kind, simple in the best sense. She was an unsophisticated person. And that, it was said, was why she and Lady Astor made such a good team. You'll have heard, I expect, that she and Lady Astor worked hand in glove. The donkey work for Lady Astor, and Lady Astor provided the flair and the drive and the public image, and that they made an admirable team.
Yes, I can believe that, actually.
Yes, that's a very nice photograph.
I thought that, actually. That's why I asked them if I could borrow it.
Yes.
This
was from the Smiths.
Yes.
Well, that's exactly as I remember her.
But it epitomises their relationship and contrasting personalities.
It does.
Well,
you see, Lady Astor's in front.
Yes. And rather, yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Mrs. Winchingham rather admiringly, but motherly in the background.
In the background.
Yes.
Supporting, comforting.
And yet, that doesn't quite fit with this sort of flurry of arrival and departure.
Well, you see, Lady Astor wasn't there, so that Mrs. Winchingham, in Lincolnshire, on her own, to some extent, may have enjoyed being a miniature Lady Astor.
Yes. Yes. I mean, what was she really in the Women's Institute movement? Was she the sort of county leader in a way when you first arrived here? Was she the major personality in the movement?
She was regarded with affection and as the first woman, first English woman member of Parliament. There was an enormous pride in her. Everybody felt, this is our Lincolnshire, Mrs. Winchingham. You know how she went into Parliament?
Yes,
that her
yes.
husband had died.
Yes, I do.
Well, she
yes.
had no ambition, I think, in her early days. She was a teacher, and I think a primary school
That's
teacher.
Right. In
I'm
Yorkshire.
Not sure. It was primary, was it? Yes, I rather thought perhaps it was.
Mm.
And it was fate that pushed her into
yes.
Parliament.
Mm. Mm.
And
yes.
if she hadn't linked with Lady Astor, she might have been far less known and active than in fact she was, but swept along by Lady Astor and given her own qualities. She had very great qualities, I think, of reliability and goodwill. And obviously from the books that she left me, and like Sir Edward Livingstone,
yes.
the whole orbit of her thoughts was on the highest level.
Mm.
She wasn't
an idealist,
self-seeking cynical or a politician in inverted commas in any way. She was in this for the good of humankind.
Yes.
Just, I think,
yes.
she'd become a teacher because she was
yes.
fond of children, would have been
yes.
a very good teacher, I imagine.
Yes. Yes, she was very fond of children, wasn't she? I think Mrs. Neal said that they would have liked to have had children, but didn't.
No.
And in a sense, like many people in that position, she interests herself in other people's
she
children.
Did. She did.
Mm.
Yes. Yes.
Mm.
But I can't honestly remember whether at that time she was president of
no,
the
I think
Federation,
now,
but I rather
I?
Think she would be. It's
yes.
the kind of thing that is most probable.
Yes.
That she would be asked to be president,
yes.
that she would do a great deal in the Tilbury-Louth area by attending all the celebrations, that she would be asked in to present
yes.
cups
Precisely,
and
yes.
Do everything
yes.
of this kind, but that
yes.
because she was in London so often and her political work obviously would have to come first, I don't know that she would attend the county committee meetings regularly, and she probably did with them what she did with the county council committees, and that is sweep in and sweep out.
Yes, yes. What looking back at the WI movement in the 1930s, when you first came here, what did it do for Lincolnshire Village women, do you think? What was its function, really? It was partly an educational sort of
it
body,
was,
wasn't it?
Yes, it was partly practical. It was trying to raise standards. The jeer is that they sang Jerusalem and made jam. Well, the idea was that if you sang Jerusalem because these were the ideals, WI, a better land that you were going to contribute to, and you made jam or chutney or learnt needlework, whatever it might be, to try and do better what you had to do anyway, so that you took a pride in homecraft. Because so many of the women were living on the smell of an oil rag, because agriculture was depressed in the 30s and all the ancillary trades were depressed, and the village blacksmith probably took to mending bicycles and selling tires and that kind of thing to try and keep alive, because the farmers were not having their horses shod or their machinery such as it was mended. And Lincolnshire was a very poor county when I came. So that the women who were having a grinding job to feed and clothe their children found anything that took them for an afternoon a week into an entirely different atmosphere, where they were regarded as beings in their own right and heard something that might give them new ideas, and saw how to do something rather better, how to make a little girl's dress from an old shirt or something of that kind. And most of them, of course, would have left school at 14 at least, and probably younger in the case of the older women. It was practical. practical help, and then in some cases, of course, a lot of the old country skills and laws were being revived, and a lot of the country women who had rather scorned, because their aim was what they read about perhaps in women's papers, where it was always the town that was the ideal, began to realize that you could do things with country skills, and that their mothers weren't necessarily so old-fashioned or out of date. And things like using rushes for weaving, which has come up again now. I mean, there's a great revival in some of these things, which were first revived in the 30s by the WR.
Yeah, I see. So it's also a sort of extension of the back to the land, back sort of restoring the English countryside, which starts in the Edwardian period.
To stop the drift from the countryside, it was partly that, on the women's aspect, partly to give companionship, because so often country women could be very lonely, partly educational. When I came to Lincolnshire, there was one adult education class in the whole of Lindsay, and that was an Oxford one, a music one. And by the time I'd been, no, I'm wrong, it was before I, when Major Northcotes, who was the first secretary to whom I came as an assistant, when he came, and he came in the late 1920s, about 28, and at that time there was only this one class, in an Oxford extramural class in the whole of Lindsay. But Hull University College, as it then was starting, and they looked over the river and saw this virgin territory and linked up with the Rural Community Council, because Major Northcotes and the Rural Community Council could be the organising body for village classes, and Hull and later Nottingham and Sheffield could be providing bodies. And then the WA came in, and now, of course, there are resident tutors, and the whole thing is covered in a remarkable way. And the RCC, which pioneered all this, and at one time had more students in the rural areas than anywhere else in the country, percentage way, passed all this over to the WA and the universities and the organising tutors and the LEA, because they set up their own centres with full-time organisers in each district before local government reorganisation. So the WI linked in not only with the practical classes with which they started, but also with educational classes as such, and music and drama and local history were the three which were the infiltrating classes. But later on, of course, things like economics or current affairs, or what people were rather alarmed about in the early days, were recognised as being something that could be interesting and could attract people.
So, I mean, if you look at these in relation to women's position, in a sense, they're trying to make women more efficient in their traditional role, that is, as housewives and mothers.
And to enlarge their horizons as people.
Yes. So it's not sort of feminist in the sense of, in any sense, being anti-man or having a different view of women's role in society.
No, the WI was never that.
No.
The WI, I think Oxfordshire was the first WI development in this country when it was brought in from Canada.
Mm.
And there they linked it up to some extent, as I've heard, with the county library.
Mm.
Because Grace Haddo, the sister of the Haddo Report, who did a great deal there, and who worked with the first secretary of the Oxfordshire Rural Community Council. And that's why you've had Haddo House as the office of the Oxfordshire Rural Community Council in Oxford. Took books from the county library out to the villages as a completely pioneering venture. That hadn't been done before.
Mm.
And she used to travel about in an old van armloads of books.
Yes.
And try and get classes going and try and get people to read.
Of course, one thing that's interesting about Enid Jenkins' book is that, I mean, although you say on the whole in the early days it was the educated women in the villages who started things on or ran it, it was a democratic movement from its origins in a way, wasn't it? Because
it was
trying to raise up
yes.
ordinary
yes.
women in the countryside,
yes.
not to patronise them or...
No,
in any sense,
no.
keep them
but
under.
It was merely that in the very early days, in counties, rural counties like Lincolnshire, where a lot of the village, the older village women were diffident and used to curtsying to the squire and his lady and so on, they would have thought it wasn't their place
yes.
to be president or chairman or treasurer,
yeah.
and it took time for this new idea that everybody had a part to play and everybody could contribute. And later Denman College, where you could go for courses in public speaking and how to be a secretary or a treasurer and so on, has developed all this enormously.
Yes. What about the Mothers' Union? How, does that at all interrelate with your story? Or, because of course that had existed some time before, hadn't it?
There was a great deal of overlap. Most of the active WI members would be Mothers' Union members, I think. As I'm a Scot, I'm not an Anglican, and so I don't know a great deal about Mothers' Union except what one learns by going about. And of course in those days the Mothers' Union was very strict. It's broadened and
yes.
changed its policy within the last year or two.
Mm.
But in those 30 years, the 30s, it was still rather rigid. It was purely for members of the Anglican Church. It was purely for mothers. It was for mothers who upheld strictly the idea of monogamy and the family and so on.
And very consciously Anglican, isn't it? Where
yes.
the WI was
all into. Oh, so it was completely. That was why in the early days you couldn't introduce politics or religion into WI meetings so that everybody could take part. And Lincolnshire's very much a Methodist county.
Yes.
With John Wesley.
Particularly Miss Wintringham's area, actually.
Yes, it
yes.
is. It is.
Didn't
so
that
a great many of the village women were strong Methodists, and the Methodist chapels were very strong, and they had their own, of course, guilds, women's guilds and women's meetings, so that one had to make sure that the WI from the beginning was recognised as being neither church nor chapel and neither Tory nor radical.
Wouldn't that make it a bit difficult for Mrs. Wintringham, who had been a parliamentary candidate, MP in fact, to actually participate in a neutral organisation like that? Maybe it's easier if you're a liberal than
so.
If you're...
I don't think so, because it was recognised, I think, that Mrs. Wintringham and people like her were Tories, and it was recognised that the bulk of the membership would not be Tories.
Mm.
But as you weren't discussing politics or religion, as you were learning how to do something that you were all interested in, putting away the pink.
Precisely, yes. I mean, a lot of its interest is practical, isn't it?
Yes,
the
still.
WI. I mean, yes,
yes.
Which is really Mrs. Wintringham's world, isn't it, rather?
Oh,
I mean,
it
she,
is.
She
it
was
is.
A practical person,
yes.
wasn't she?
And she could tell them how children ought to be taught and how children ought to be brought up and what happened when she was a girl and so on, and do it in a charming and interesting and useful way.
Mm.
And I've no doubt she did. And she was very much a mother figure. If you saw her at a meeting,
yes.
you immediately warmed to her.
Yes. See, what is interesting about this in a way in relation to the women's movement is that the women's movement on the whole does contain quite a lot of people who think that women should have careers, women should have a different role in society from just being mothers and housewives. And the Women's Institute movement, which arises, you know, quite independently from the feminist movement,
yes.
It only partially overlaps with it, doesn't it? I mean, it,
yes.
in a sense, it's partly traditionalist in its attitude, isn't it, in regard to women's
Yes,
tradition.
Because I would say, particularly in rural counties, the great majority of women were not very sympathetic to what is now women's lib.
Mm.
But they did want to meet their friends and have an afternoon off and enjoy a cup of tea and a chat and have a visiting speaker perhaps. And this was a breath of fresh air, and then they went back and got on with the ironing.
Well, another obvious problem isn't that you can't, and there aren't any careers for women anyway in a town like, in a county like Lincolnshire, in the country villages necessarily, are there?
No, some of the brighter girls would go away and train to be nurses or teachers, and the very occasional one might become a doctor. But the opportunities were very limited in the 30s.
Mm. So in a way, the sort of feminist programme just isn't practical, really, as far as a country area like Lincolnshire.
No, and it's accelerated and grown enormously and become much more shrill, I would think, within the last 10 years, hasn't
it? Oh yes,
it
has. Yes.
I've seen an enormous change.
Mm. How actually does the WI in Lincolnshire now see itself in relation to the women's movement as such? I mean, is it in any way compromising with women's liberation? Is it admitting women's labor liberation groups into its membership, or?
I don't know of any women's liberation group in the county. There may be one, but I don't know.
I see, yes.
But I think encouraged from headquarters, the county tries to encourage the local WI to look at what is involved in the responsibilities that women now have under the recent legislation, and to realise that although they have greater opportunities, this brings greater responsibilities.
Mm. Yes.
They must know about this.
Yeah.
And I think they're trying to have schools and conferences on new developments. Just the WI has done an enormous amount on the whole conservation movement.
Has it really? Has
and
it?
Has taken a tremendous part in that.
Has it?
And in Lincolnshire, we've been particularly fortunate because Mary Smith, the wife of A.E. Smith, Ted Smith as he's called, who was a Nottingham University tutor originally, who became the first secretary of the Lincolnshire Trust for Nature Conservation, which was one of the early county trusts, has gradually worked his way up, and now he's nationally secretary of whatever the national body is, I forget now.
Mm-hmm.
Not the Countryside Commission, the Council for Nature or something
yeah.
like that.
Mm.
And his wife, who was trained at Kew and is a first-class botanist and gardener, has done a tremendous amount through the WIs, which she's a county officer, to encourage interest in the Lincolnshire Trust, interest in conservation, interest in tree planting, preservation of hedges, the whole field of nature conservation.
Mm.
And there isn't a WI in Lincolnshire, I think, that hasn't been prodded and spurred and educated on this.
Yeah.
And if you get somebody like Mary Smith, who has the skill and the knowledge and the ability to do this, that grows in the WI movement. Similarly, I suppose if you'd had a woman's libber who could do the same kind of thing for women's lib, this might have been developed, but I've never heard of it being and I think the whole trend of country women generally is to say, I'm not a woman's libber, hastily, if there's any discussion,
yeah.
but I do want opportunities to do my own thing, and when the children are off my hands, I'll probably look for a job and that kind of thing.
Of course, the WI movement was a pressure group as well, wasn't it, really? I mean, it did take up certain causes, didn't it? And pressed for legislation or whatever was needed.
And for better sanitation in the countryside, and better water and so on, because at the time it started, the provisions for public sanitation and so on were very limited, and they've applied pressure all over the country for improvements.
Yes,
because it was the women who had this to deal with. If they had to draw their water from a well or pump or do all their washing by buckets of water
That's right.
Heated on an old black stove.
What about what part does Lincoln's City play in that county network of women's institutes then? I mean, Women's Institute is a rural.
Yes,
affair,
it is.
What happens
in the
town?
The city as such doesn't play any part in that beyond being the county town, and people come in here if there are meetings. They use accommodation in Lincoln to come into meetings, or they encourage their members to come in now to the Museum of Lincolnshire Life to see that and so on. But you don't have women's institutes in places over a certain population. I think the population's 4,000 now, but in the old days it used to be smaller.
That leads me to ask you things that I don't understand really at the moment. What is the relationship, if any, between the WIs and the Business and Professional Women's Associations and the Towns Women's Guilds?
None. They're quite separate organisations serving different needs and all paddling their own canoe.
Yes, I mean, you've got business B&P, as they're called here, have you? And TG,
yes.
And they're both separate, are they?
Yes.
Quite independent.
Though you sometimes get overlapping membership.
I see,
you may have people who qualify to enter the Business and Professional, like Sir Optimists, because B&P and Sir Optimists offered membership to specific categories of women. It wasn't open to everybody, as the WI is. And as Townswomen's Guilds are. Townswomen's Guilds were set up because people in the town said, why can't we have the kind of organisation that the country women are having? We would like it.
So
Townswomen's Guilds are a parallel to Women's Institutes. In Scotland, the Women's Institutes have always been called WRI, Women's Rural Institutes. That's their name there, and they are rural. Whereas the Townswomen's Guilds, again, as their name implies, provide an organisation for townswomen.
Yes, I see. They run
pretty much on the same lines. They have meetings with speakers or demonstrators. They have ideals which they try and encourage their members to live up to be good citizens and so on. WI and Townswomen's Guilds all do certain amounts of charitable work, though it's said charity begins at home. They must raise funds for their own organisations before they look beyond that, but they are encouraged to look beyond that. And B&P and Sir Optimists are catering for women who have businesses or professions in which they take pride and interest, and try and link them up slightly in the way that the inner wheel does as the parallel to Rotary. The inner wheel is the woman's parallel of Rotary or Round Table.
I see. It's almost a class distinction, is there, between the Townswomen's Guild and the B&P? The B&P are on the whole slightly better socially, are they, than the
Townswomen's Guild? Thought of themselves as that in the first place. But they've rather fallen on evil times latterly, and the local B&P had to close down. They just couldn't manage to carry on. Because there has been a proliferation to some extent of women's organisations, particularly in the towns. And a thing that some of the older women's organisations rather resent is that the electrical authority and the gas authority both set up and finance women's organisations, the Electrical Women's Association and the Women's Gas Federation, and they have meetings in gas or electrical showrooms with demonstrators showing cooking and so on, but it's developed beyond that to other activities, but they are subsidised by these national industries, whereas the bodies like WIs and Townswomen's Guilds are not subsidised or weren't subsidised in any way. The WI now does get nationally government grants, but that's a comparatively recent development, partly achieved, I think, because they said if the nationalised industries are subsidising organisations to get women to use more gas or more electricity, you ought to give the WI a grant. And that is being done now on an educational basis for their educational work. And sometimes the county councils now, in Lincolnshire, the county council gives the WI a grant for educational work.
Yes.
And another body, which you may or may not have come across, is the National Council of Women. Do you know that?
Yes, no, I don't. You see, again, I must sort this out. What are they? I mean, I don't know who they are.
They're the oldest women's organization.
Yes. Thank you very much.
That you may like to have.
Yes, very kindly, thank you.
I'd look out their little leaflet, which will explain. Yes. But they have been going for nearly 90 years. And
yes.
The first women's organizations of this type.
A Lincoln branch.
Yes.
I see.
Yes.
Yes.
And there's a branch at Grimsby, which is now in South Humberside, but used to be in Lincolnshire. And the other nearest one is Nottingham. Nottingham and Nottinghamshire, their branch is called. And those three form the East Midland region.
I see. So it's an urban-based movement,
yes.
Rather different from the
yes.
WI, really.
Yes. Oh, it
way.
Is. It is. And
yes.
Again, it was started for educated women and has always had a rather high-powered membership, particularly at headquarters, and has had some very remarkable women. And it's recognised by the government for membership of international and governmental bodies, and is consulted by government departments. Mm. And
not necessarily feminist, of course, at all. I mean,
no.
It's,
and that is their newsletter.
Oh, yes, thank you. Do you mind if I... is this a spare copy?
Yes, do. Yes, you can have those.
That's very kind of you, because, you know, I think perhaps I ought to make contact with their headquarters and find out, you know, who...
I should.
They probably know people who've been in the organisation a long time at the national level and could talk,
yes.
You know, quite interestingly
yes.
about it. I mean, I only really ask you about these things just to see what the overall pattern of the organisations is in Lincolnshire.
Yes.
And it's quite obvious, there's quite a network of
things.
Oh,
there is. There is.
Yes.
I think Lincolnshire has been a very active county in a great many ways.
Has it?
And has been in the forefront of a number of developments.
Why should that be, actually, do you think? Was it a matter of personalities?
Well, I was going to say partly a matter of personalities.
Partly because it's been growing economically. I mean, it's been
yes.
coming up, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. Yes.
Yes, that's interesting. Well, but getting back to Mrs. Wintingham, she, when you first come, she's very much a major figure in the WI and active in local affairs. The Second World War gets her involved even more, doesn't it, with certain things? I mean, she gets involved in the sort of land army and things like that, doesn't she?
Yes, yes.
And she's really quite important in that, isn't she?
Yes, she was. Yes.
I mean, how does the WI react to the Second World War, do you think, and what does it do? Does it on the whole encourage production of food?
And most important work, I would think, is taking in children from the towns. Taking in sometimes children who really were the dregs of the slums of some of the big towns, which our countrywomen, of course, had never seen and didn't know existed, and to get children who were ill and perhaps mentally afflicted and covered with lice and completely untrained in any way, put in extraordinary burdens on a great many people, which they shouldered, and a great many of these children were set on their feet in every sense. And some of them stayed in Lincolnshire, never went home at all if their parents abandoned them, as some parents did.
Mm. They took people not only from the Lincolnshire towns, but from towns all over the country.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
Yes.
A great many children came from Hull, and of
did
course
really?
Some of the poor Hull children were in very bad shape.
Were they really?
Yes.
Mm.
Because Hull at that time had horrible slums.
So the First World War gives the WIs yet another function. The Second World War gives
another
role.
And they also, of course, were up to the eyes in growing more food. There was the campaign to grow more food because of the problem of submarines and rationing. And they all, with their husbands, were doing everything they possibly could to grow food and to help on the women helped on the farms, as well as growing in their gardens and backyards. yards.
Presumably you were right in the centre of this, were you? Because you got established yourself by that time in Lincolnshire, so you must have been very much
involved. I wasn't allowed to join up because it was regarded as a job of national importance. So I did ARP all night and my job all day.
Did you really? Yes.
And had a considerably busy time.
I'm sure you did,
It would have been easier to be in the forces in some respects.
Less time consuming anyway.
Yes, and we as an organisation worked for the Arts Council and set up Citizens Advice Bureau, CIMA as it then was, trying to encourage music and the arts for the morale of the civilian population, and CAB, and we ran the Red Cross letter service for prisoners of war, and so on and so on.
Oh well, so...
So everybody was doing all they possibly could. a thing I saw, which I had not known about before in one of the National Council of Women reports, is that if there are publications from 1888 to 1976 for sale to universities, that's the International Council of Women. And if you want to know the ramifications internationally, you might like to get a...
Do you not need this either, Miss Murray?
No, if you like, after
that's very kind of you, yes. I think, you know, that's yet another organisation, and the whole series of international organisations, which I want to read up as well, actually.
Our National Council of Women has always done a great deal of international work and has been a very active member of the International Council of Women, so that is an important aspect.
Yes.
Now, have you heard of a body called the Standing Conference of Women's Organizations?
No, I haven't. I mean, an incredible number of things, really. I haven't. That simply coordinates all the women's organizations.
Yes, they have tried, and again, this is a thing sponsored by the National Council of Social Service, to get the growing number of women's organizations to link up together into a standing conference in every town so that they can speak with one voice.
It was created sort of really quite recently, I mean about sort of two or three years ago.
No, it must have been going for 20 years.
I see, because the government has rather been encouraging integration of women's organisations, hasn't it? So it can deal with some central body, you know.
But this was a National Council of Social Service idea, and they provided the national headquarters and financed the Women's Forum, which was the national body, and the Standing Conferences, which are the local bodies. And the Standing Conference in Lincoln has comparatively recently extended from Lincoln to bring in women's institutes in the neighbourhood of Lincoln. So the WI now are represented, although originally town Standing Conferences only covered the bodies in the town. And I think this is symptomatic of the modern growth to try and link up urban and rural.
Yes, certainly. I mean, you were going to say.
No, I was going to say, and I think this is something that the government, again, has been pressing hard, and some of us feel that you can press too hard and say that urban and rural are just the same, whereas in fact, of course, they're not.
But looking back again, I mean, isn't one of the changes that you've seen a sort of merging of town and country to some extent? That is, all country villages have access to television. the sort of urban attitudes and habits are more current in country villages.
That's quite true, yes.
And there's more commuter settlement, of course, in country villages.
And young people who in Lincolnshire are gathered up by bus from remote places and taken into central schools, get the ideas of the people they meet in the central schools, and they find their interests and hobbies and so on there. Therefore, after school or when they leave school, want to continue finding interests and hobbies in the larger centres. And don't find it in the small hamlets.
Getting back to Mrs. Wintringham a bit, your personal contact with her at first was just being sort of involved or interested in women's organisations. You just happened to see her.
That was it. Oh, I was a young girl, you see, doing a job I'd come straight from college and knew nothing about anything. And merely looked at her. I saw her coming into committees or sweeping out. And, it was, somebody looking from afar. And,
yes. Then you got to know her presumably a bit better, did you? I mean...
Oh, as years passed, I did. And I knew Miss Winchingham, as she was when I knew her first, knew her well. And it was partly through her, I think, that...
Mrs. Neely?
Yes.
Yes.
But... because Miss Winchingham was farming and she did a great deal with the Land Army during the war and helped her aunt and so on. But she also was the first BBC adult education organiser.
Oh, was she? We didn't have time to expand really when I saw her.
No, well, the BBC was starting to develop adult education and had... one person in each area, I think, as a sort of link to try and advise them on what it would be useful to have programmes on, and it was Miss Winchingham who was the Lincolnshire, the Lindsay one.
Of course, that's another influence, I suppose, radio and later television, which has integrated the town and the country in Lincolnshire,
yes.
Has it? I mean,
yes.
Have you noticed that having made quite a difference, really?
I think so, because it gives common topics of conversation. If countrywomen and townswomen meet, they immediately have things they can talk about that they've both seen on television or heard on the radio.
Of course. And also, of course, it encourages buying habits, doesn't it, and consuming habits among women, which are similar.
Yes.
Particularly ITV, obviously.
Yes.
And they presumably also would, I imagine, that the tendency now would be to come into Lincoln or to the big towns more to do their shopping. Would you say that was so?
Yes, particularly now with supermarkets.
Yes.
Because I think a lot of countrywomen come in once a week and stock up.
Yes, with their bee jam freezers.
Yes.
Yes. Did Mrs. Winchingham then carry on like this as a local organisation person right to the end of her life?
I don't think so. Because when she left Tealby, she was becoming rather frail, and she felt, I think, that she hadn't the status in the county that she'd had previously, and she'd a lot of interests and connections in London, and she used to go up to London a great deal as long as she could. And although she had this house round the corner in Number Houses, she wasn't there a great deal. It was a pied a terre for her, I think, whereas her London...
I see, so she really still, in a sense, develops more London connections towards the end of her life than she had before, do you think? I mean, she becomes more of a London
that
person.
That was the impression I got.
Yes.
Because she hadn't the responsibilities here that she'd had when she was an MP. And when she was actively concerned with a number of things and in the thick of them. And I think she felt it was a bit sad to be down here and at a loose end.
Yes, I mean, if you were writing, I mean, I don't know, as I say, why no biography of her was written, I suppose, I don't know when she died, was it 1956 or so?
I was interested when I was looking for those books, Raise Funds, for grants to Lincolnshire churches.
I see, yes.
And I thought that was rather good because obviously at that time she was still regarded as being the kind of person that if you were setting up a trust for Lincolnshire churches, although she would be a Methodist herself, I think, that one should bring on. And she was the only woman as an original trustee, I think.
And also, of course, Christian Scientist, presumably, by that time.
Oh, was she? I didn't know that.
Oh, yes, she was.
Oh, was she?
Yes.
Oh.
She was converted by Lady Astor.
Was she one? I didn't know that.
Oh, yes.
Oh, well, it didn't stop her from becoming a trustee of the
Church's Trust. But your sort of later contact with her, how did you get to know her better than just somebody who flounced in and out of meetings, so to speak?
I never knew her really well. But I think she felt when she was coming to Lincoln that as I lived just round the corner and was young and supposedly energetic, that she could ask me to help her to move in. and I knew her better over the moving in than I'd ever known her before.
Can you describe what happened when she moved in? I mean, was it a rather sad business in a way, because she was shedding her earlier past?
Yes, it was. It was. But on the other hand, all her things, of course, had associations, and she was very fond of china. She had some very nice china that I helped her to wash and display in her cabinets and so on. And she would say, you know, this came from that one and this came from that one and so on. She was a very natural, simple person who enjoyed her possessions and had acquired the library, all of the, which, insofar as it had political interest, she quite willingly dumped on me. I don't think she wanted to keep any of that. And of course, she was getting to be an old lady then.
She never really liked it in Lincoln, did she? I mean, she wasn't ever really happy here, was she, in her later life when she moved? Of course, she was not well.
Well, she was not here, sir. She was not here a great deal, as I remember it.
But she had bronchitis. It was really worse and worse, I believe, didn't she?
She was very heavy and stout and scant of breath.
Yes. Anyway, in the end, she died in a nursing home, didn't she? I think refusing medical attention.
Because of her, yes, I didn't know that she was a Christian scientist.
But in a way, I mean, she's obviously a very important Lincolnshire personality in the 20th century. But it seems to me, if I were writing her biography, it seems to me, in a way, a big anticlimax after about the early 20s. She gets this national fame. Really becomes a very popular figure, I suppose, and is very important locally, and then gradually it declines, partly because initially she fails to get in, of course, to Parliament again.
Yes.
But later, because she has to, presumably out of health or old age or something, has to shed these various organisations she's connected with.
And because she was never a woman of acute intelligence.
No.
And she hadn't, I think, any intellectual resources within herself.
I
wouldn't have thought that her reading was other than at a fairly simple level. And if she was a Christian scientist, her philosophizing, I suppose, again, was on the level of everything's for the best and the best of all possible worlds.
Yes.
I don't know, perhaps that's unfair to Christian scientists. I don't know very much about it.
Yes.
But certainly the impression I got from men, and it was largely men that were county councillors, was that they looked on her as a kind old thing in a kindly but rather contemptuous way.
Yes, not a really high-powered woman.
Nobody that they would go to consult.
No.
Now, there was another old lady who was, I suppose, a contemporary. I'm not quite sure how they'd tie up for age. Lady Mrs. Ancotts, the wife of a man who was knighted later, Sir Weston Craycroft Ancotts, an old family who live out at Hackthorn. Sir Weston died a month or two ago in his 80s, and it was his mother, Mrs. Ancotts. Now, she was the sort of old lady that people went to and consulted.
Why was that, then? Why the conflict?
Because she had a very good mind and a very fairly balanced mind. She was one of the old county families. In her youth, she'd ridden across Canada, so that she was unconventional.
It's Ancotts, is it?
Yes, Craycroft Ancotts.
I think you'll find her in here, actually, because I think she was remembered.
don't know whether you'd recognise her, but I think she is one of those women, actually.
I shouldn't be at all surprised. She was in most things. But she was a different kettle of fish from Mrs. Winchingham.
Yes.
Although she had some of the grand dame qualities.
Yes.
You know, that
she also had the education and the cultivation together with that.
Mm. And the independence of mind.
So if one were writing a sort of biography of Mrs. Winchingham, it would be reasonable in a way to see it all as really rather a decline from a high point in the early 20s, both as regards national politics and local affairs.
Yes, because I think she would never have had the place in national politics that she had without her partnership with Lady Astor. In a way, she swam in Lady Astor's along in her
yes.
Towed rather than swimming, perhaps.
Yes. That's very interesting. Of course, Lady Astor was very good to her and helped her a lot, and made a point of not being jealous of her and things like that. You know, I mean, she really was very good, I think.
Yes. Oh, I think they were real friends,
and
they each contributed to the other.
That's right. Yes. Two other people I did want to ask you about, as I probably mentioned, Mrs. Toomer, you gave a sort of beautiful vignette of when I was talking, simply saying that she, as I remember you saying, she was a dumpling.
Yes.
I mean, is there anything else about her that you'd like to bring out, that as you remember? How is she?
I was asked by Miss Kathy Major to say to you, and I'm glad you reminded me because I might have forgotten, that a person who might tell you about Mrs. Toomer is Robin Hughes-Jones. Did you ever come across him?
No.
He was a WEA tutor in Lincoln in Mrs. Toomer's time, and then he went to London to what was the Mary Ward settlement.
Oh, yes.
As the first head of the Institute for Social Work.
Oh, yes.
And he's retired now, but he's still working for the Joseph Rowntree Trust. So that you could contact
him. I make no sense. And he was WEA tutor here?
In Mrs. Toomer's time.
Yes.
And Kathleen said it had occurred to her afterwards that he could give you a good deal of information.
Incidentally,
it's
Robin
H.W.Y.S. Jones.
Yes. And where would I find him roughly? I mean, in London anyway.
Well, he has been living in York, because the Rowntree Trust is in York.
Oh, it's the Rowntree Trust anyway.
Yes, the Joseph Rowntree Trust that he works for now.
Because
they wanted to help young people.
Yes.
Fond of young people. And of course, a lot of women who've lost their prospective husbands in the 1418 war, and who perhaps were at home and would not, who thought they would marry and realised they never would marry, in addition to helping things like the WI, did help with guiding. And there was an enormous amount of good work done, which in turn gave them experience of running things and organisation and linking up with other bodies and getting out of the county to go to Foxley's headquarters down in the New Forest and perhaps getting on to headquarters committees and even going abroad. And, opening out for them, which without the Guide Movement they would never have had.
Of course, in a way, I suppose the Girl Guide Movement's rather like the Women's Institute in the sense that it's back to country law again, isn't it? It's getting people to recognise the values of the country more than
and to be independent and practical and to encourage girls not to lie about and faint.
I think that's another movement one ought to be thinking about, actually. One of the things about that generation of women, which one gets mentioned occasionally by people, purely incidentally in a way, is that there really were quite a lot of them who lost their husbands or their fiancés or something in the First World War.
Yes.
It is really quite important to a lot of people's lives.
It changed the whole life of a great many women. And some of them became embittered and others didn't. and some devoted themselves to public service in different ways, and some of course looked after old parents, salt of the earth, but it made an enormous difference.
Yes, and something one of course forgets now, because on the whole women don't have any problem about finding husbands, because the age balance is reversed.
Yes, and there aren't a million men
dead. Yes, precisely.
And of course, even those whose husbands, prospective husbands, actual or prospective husbands, did come home, very often found that they were so changed, and they might have been maimed or shell-shocked or had seen a different life and weren't prepared to settle down in Lincolnshire. Some of the country boys that went out as what would have been called raw yokels came back hard-bitten, embittered people who'd seen death and destruction in the most horrible forms and had lost their youthful idealism and so on, and some of them drank more than they should, and you hear most sad stories of women who'd waited, imagining the person who came back would be the person they'd seen go, and married as soon as they were back, and then found they were dealing with an entirely changed person and had an entirely different life from the life they would both have had if they'd married when they were young and hopeful in a peaceful world. So that it wasn't, I mean, sometimes the women who'd lost the people they'd not married were happier afterwards than those whose men came back. There was that aspect of it, because the 1418 war was such a ghastly experience for people who were in the trenches. Particularly if they were young and had to steel themselves and therefore lost some of their youthful resilience.
I'm sure that's right. Has the welfare state really made a lot of difference to the role of the WI and other voluntary organisations, or are voluntary organisations, in your experience, just really foraying further out, so to speak, as the state takes things over? Do they simply move on to other things, really?
By and large, they do, but the proliferation of organisations is making it more difficult for each one to attract voluntary funds, particularly at the moment. See, when I first came to Lincoln, the only women's organisation in Lincoln that you could join was the National Council of Women, and I joined it. And paid my subscription, which I suppose in those days was about £0.50. And I couldn't go to the meetings because they were daytime meetings, but I thought this was something that one supported, you know, for what it was doing, nationally and internationally. Now you see bodies like the British Federation of University Women and the National Council of Women, which are pretty much a similar type of membership, are finding it almost impossible to keep their headquarters going in London because of costs for the staff. National Council of Women is wondering if it ought to move out to Watford from Lower Sloane Street. And similarly, BNP and Lincoln have had to close down because they've been affected by the Sir Optimus and Townswomen's Guilds and other bodies. And bodies like Townswomen's Guilds say we can't compete with the gas and the electrical associations because we are not subsidised.
And anyway, of course, you've got a decline in the county as elsewhere of that sort of elite who would contribute money and time, leisure.
Oh, that's changed entirely.
I'm sure it has, yes, because when you first came, there must have been a lot of well-educated women of leisure who had both money and time. And who could be involved in all sorts of things.
And who felt noblesse oblige.
Yes, precisely. Whereas now they've either got jobs of their own or they're too busy or they haven't got any servants.
Or I was going to say they're running big houses and trying to look after children and so on with no help and getting older and in conditions which they find very difficult. Yes, it's another world now.
It is really, isn't it? Yes, I mean,
And women's organisations are finding it particularly difficult because men generally, I think, take it for granted that some of their income will go on a golf club subscription or an old boys subscription or Rotary or what have you. But they don't take it for granted that their wives should have subscriptions of this kind. And when it comes to cutting down, the wife thinks, well, I must give up my NCW, but I don't want my husband to give up his golf.
Yes. Actually, one interesting development, which is slightly less pessimistic than that, I suppose, is the fact that women increasingly do take their recreation together, don't they, rather than separately. I mean, instead of having a women's club and a men's club, on the whole, women are more admitted to men's clubs than they used to be.
Depends on the club.
Yes. And, you know, there's a lot of television watching jointly.
And young husbands, of course, take far more part in family life. I mean, my nieces who are married, the husbands share the job of the babies and the children in a way that my own father, of course, would never dreamt of doing.
He
never changed a nappy in his life.
Probably never seen
one.
Yes.
Whereas now the young men play their part in a much more companionable way, don't they?
Yes, which possibly diminishes the need for special women's recreational organisations.
Yes, and a lot of young women don't want to join women-only organisations.
No.
They say this is not for us.
Yes. Yes.
If we join anything, we want to join a mixed group.
Yes, yes. So that might also be part of the reason.
Yes, I think it is.
Yes. Yes, that really does sort of clarify things. I think what I must do now, I mean,